Well, thank you, John, for that kind introduction, and I'd like to thank the Academy for inviting me here to give a few introductory remarks on this topic from an OSTP perspective. I'd like to thank Paul for all the arrangements and help for this. So really, I'd like to thank thank you all for this opportunity to share with you a few thoughts about the broader arena of space policy from an OSTP, an Office of Science and Technology Policy perspective. And I've been there for going on about 4 years now, and it's really interesting, and I find it's a very exciting period now to be working with Dr. Holdren, because as a fellow rocket scientist, turns out we shared the same advisor in grad school in MIT, although we were about 20 years separated, which is a very interesting experience. It just really shows that despite the vastness of space, the space community on Earth is actually pretty small. So I'd like to first point out that space is really an important, it's an arena of importance to this administration. And I think it's been highlighted by a few interesting cases where the president himself has shown a keen interest in NASA's space activities. For instance, a few calls to the International Space Station, as well as on the anniversary of Apollo 11, he invited the three Apollo 11 astronauts to come to the Oval Office and talk a little bit about their historical accomplishments as well as the importance of moving forward with our national human spaceflight program. I'd like to point out that from Dr. Holdren's perspective, how he views a lot of the S&T challenges that the nation is facing, that there are a number of cross-cutting S&T foundations that he views as very important to addressing this range of national science and technology challenges. And actually, he views capabilities in space as a very broad area where we have essentially Earth observations, telecommunications, et cetera, these types of capabilities cutting across the broad sector of space is something that is going to be very important for the success of our S&T enterprise. And he feels that this is very important, along with a few other very important actually cross-cutting foundations. And I'll mention a few of them just to put this in context in terms of how important he views space as with respect to a few other important aspects. For instance, one is increasing the capacities and the health of our nation's universities and our national and private laboratories. The whole aspect of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics education, which is going to be very important for the foundations of our economy and our national competitiveness. Increasing the availability, capacity, and robustness of our information, communication, transportation, and energy infrastructures across the nation. International cooperation in science and technology is a very important area, as well as improving and supporting institutional processes and guidelines that are of importance to the science and technology community. And as a few examples, things that range from, if you will, scientific integrity, all the way to visas for foreign students to come and learn within our nation's research universities. So clearly, the whole notion of capabilities in space as a cross-cutting area is something that he feels is very important. Now, one of the things that we face today, whether it is in the civil or the military, the national security space arena, whether it's even domestic, as well as you can see evidence even in the international arena, that there's actually a number of challenges that are facing the space community. One, of course, is that the number of nations that can have access to and conduct operations in space is increasing. So that overall, the number of spacefaring nations in the spacefaring club is basically growing, which means, obviously, that space is increasing as an environment for economic and national security reasons, not to mention the growing concerns that we have with the space environment, orbital debris being one of the key and foremost issues. And of course, with this increased activity comes the need to do some serious thinking about what this all means for U.S. interests and our dialogue in international arena. And I look forward to some of the panelists afterwards that have actually spent some intellectual thought on this and this area. And so clearly, I'm just identifying this is an interesting area that really needs some additional thought, and we have to carefully move forward as the U.S. government, working with interesting ideas from academia and the private sector to understand how we are going to move forward in this arena. And also, on top of that, it's important to realize that there's a broader trend for increasing international cooperation in the space arena. So this is a very interesting topic that blends in with our aspects in terms of an increasing dynamic in the space arena. And there's a couple of other factors that we have to be very serious about recognizing that have had a significant drag, if you will, on the robustness and innovativeness of our space enterprise, and that has been basically the poor performance of our acquisition systems and the budgetary pressures. We have to all understand also the budgetary pressures that are essentially have led to an increased fragility of our satellite constellations across both the civil and the national security space systems. So what this means, consequently, is that we are increasingly dealing with how to address near-term gaps in our satellite constellations instead of being able to focus on the creation of longer-term strategic plans. This is something that is clearly on the first and foremost on the minds of many people within the space policy arena. So as you're well aware, there's much activity that's going on in the space policy front right now, and I'm just going to highlight a few of the areas in the civil space arena that we're involved with at OSTP. Of course, I'm sure almost all of you are well aware of the Augustine Committee that is going on right now. In fact, as we speak, they are at the Kennedy Space Center, and yesterday they are at the Marshall Space Center, having a series of public meetings, fact-finding sessions to really understand, basically as Dr. Holdren, who launched this study, to basically provide options for moving forward in an effort to make sure that we have a safe, innovative, affordable, and sustainable human spaceflight program for the nation, and that it really remains on a strong and stable footing well into the 21st century. And I'm sure you're aware that some of the following objectives that were given to the Augustine Committee were essentially to expedite a new U.S. capability to support the utilization of the International Space Station, to look at options for supporting missions to the moon and other destinations beyond low Earth orbit, as well as stimulating commercial spaceflight capabilities. And so Dr. Holdren initiated this review, and we're really looking forward to having the committee report back on their findings by the end of August to Dr. Holdren and OSTP. And I'd like to mention that during the course of this activity, in addition to having a series of public meetings, I'm sure many of you are aware that the committee has had a website, which has been a mechanism to basically solicit a lot of interesting information and opinions from the public sector. Another important aspect that I'd like to point out is that OSTP has been working very carefully on a number of programs in the Earth observations arena. And we've been working basically with many of the other agencies involved, NOAA and NASA primarily, to address a series of programmatic, technical, and funding challenges with respect to programs. And one of the flagship programs in this arena, of course, is known as NPOS, the National Polar Orbiting Operational Environmental Satellite System. And it turns out that in about 2 hours, Dr. Holdren is actually going to be here on the Hill testifying in front of the Senate on the whole interaction between climate change and Earth observations. This is a very important field for us. And OSTP will play basically an important role under his leadership in coordinating interagency Earth observation policy. And he feels that we must increase government oversight and improve the interagency partnerships that are central to the management of civilian satellite programs, which, among other things, are critical to the nation's climate and weather forecasting. And that ultimately, we need as a nation to proactively manage our programs instead of essentially reactively managing the problems that are in these programs. To essentially, from a strategic perspective, we would like to avert future costs and schedule overruns as much as possible. And that we must seek that agencies must work together to manage the contractors building these satellites and demand cost and schedule accountability. So having a stronger partnership between the federal government and the broader space industrial base is going to be very important. And that the management of the NPOS program and ensuring continuity of weather and climate data is a high priority, ultimately, for the administration's leadership team. So in summary, space is a very important and vital arena that is facing many challenges, but OSTP is engaged in a broad range of very exciting activities to address many of these challenges. And really look forward to interacting with other individuals within the community over the next coming years to ensure that we build strong partnerships between the federal government as well as the academic and private sector. So thank you for this opportunity to speak. Thank you.